this one, y'all. I feel like one of those old 80s DJs from the black radio stations. It's 5 o'clock. Come on down to Bessie's Barbecue this weekend. We're going to have a tight jeans contest. What's the name of those jeans? What's going on, man? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have all of y'all tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. Ready to chop up some good game, as we always do. Now, on today's show, I'm going to have my brother Claude Anderson chop up game. I'm going to call him in a second. But what we're going to do, family, we're going to take that real quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. At 5 o'clock on the hour. No, right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle, family.
Do you have any personal dating issues that you need addressed right now? Dating and life coach Mr. Locario will help you with his 30-minute game session. The Mr. Locario's 30-minute game session is a private one-on-one coaching session on the phone or through Skype. For 30 minutes, you'll get answers to any dating questions you have. To set up your 30-minute game session, go to MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
Hey, check this out, guys. There's a brand new book out called Black History in a Nutshell. Now, this is a great book on black history. It talks about things like how the planet Earth was a world of all black people from the beginning of time to about 4000 BC. It talks about how black people were the first people in America when Africa and America was one land and divided 40,000 BC. Visit blackhistoryshell.com or visit Amazon for information on this amazing book of black history. That's Black History in a Nutshell at blackhistoryshell.com. If you're out traveling somewhere in another country and you're trying to spit some game, or you're trying to do some kind of commerce, or you're trying to handle business and you want to be able to translate what you're trying to say naturally, you need to check out this new app called Two-Way ATT. It's the Auto Text Translator. It's better than Google Translate because it lets the conversation flow naturally when you speak through this app so that it seems like you speak the same language. So go to iTunes and check out Two-Way ATT Auto Text Translator. Yo, if you want to get your mouthpiece tight, you want to get your game right, and you want to get your ism out of sight, you need to check out my man, Kevin Derek Gentry. My man does personal coaching and game advising, and he teaches dudes how to really step that game up on how to pull women and really get women to cooperate with that game. So check out my man, Kevin Derek Gentry, a.k.a. the Boss Hog Macaroni. Call or text him at 404-207-5640 to get that personal game. Yo, if you have a business, if you have a blog, you have a website, or any other kind of URL that needs traffic, then say no more. Go to buywebsitetraffics.net, and for as little as $5, you can run traffic from anywhere around the world. It delivers targeted and real visitors with YouTube, Twitter, and a Facebook package. So go right now to buywebsitetraffics.net and get that traffic flowing. Again, that's buywebsitetraffics.net.
This is the Fortune 500 marketer, Musa Ali. Are you sick of working a dead-end job and want to be financially free? Well, LSV Marketing is a marketing company that pays you $500 to $1,000 every Friday on autopilot for simply referring people to our company. It's that simple. If you sign up now at lsvmarketing.com, I'll plug you into our free training so you can start making money in your sleep. But you have to sign up now because spots are limited. Go to lsvmarketing.com. That's lsvmarketing.com.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Crispy, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging tacos. right now, everybody, at CrispiesBiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered! Oh, what's going on, family? We're back. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're ready to chop up game, as we usually do. 1804, man, the movie was a great success all around the world. We had sold-out screenings all over the country. So many people came out and represented. It was a wonderful thing, man. Shout out to everybody out there in Baltimore, Maryland. Shout out to everybody in the UK. When I went to Birmingham, England, so many people came from all over the UK to watch the film, and we just had a great time, man. Go to 1804movie.com, pre-order the DVD. The DVD is going to be out, available for sale in a few days, so you can pre-order right now, ladies and gentlemen. Let me try to call Dr. Claude Anderson, because we're chopping it up with Claude Anderson today. We're chopping it up with him today. Let me get him on the phone. Hello? Hello? All right, let me try one more time. Hold on. Hello?
Hi, Tariq?
Yes, I'm calling now.
Okay, all right, I'll hang up.
All right, They're calling me. I'm trying to call them. Hold on. Let's try that again. Let me get him back on the phone. All right, now I got to dial the number again. But again, like I said, man, thank you, everybody, for supporting the 1804 film. The screenings were phenomenal. Phenomenal screenings all over the country. The DVD is going to be available in a couple of days, but get your pre-order game on now. Let me get Brother Claude Anderson on the phone right now. Yo, we got to chop up some good game today. All right. Hope they know this is my number calling. Hold on.
Thank you for calling. We are unable.
Okay, shit. Come on now. Dr. Anderson, y'all get it together. All right, let's try again. All right. Let's get this thing going one more time. It's hell getting Dr. Anderson on the phone.
Hello.
There you go. This is Tariq.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me? Hold on.
Hello.
Hold on. Wait. Let me see.
Hello. Hello.
Can you hear me? Hello. Okay. Let me try another number.
Okay. If you're on, I can't hear. I'll hang up.
Okay. Okay. I'm trying a new. I was dealing with Skype. Skype was janky, so I'm trying Google Hangouts, and now they can't hear my ass. God damn it. I'm always having the janky phone line issues. Let me try this again. Let me just do this. Hold on one second. I will just do this. We're going to get this thing popping. Hold on one second. Y'all, bear with me. Hold on. Let me see if this works. I'm going to just call them directly this way. Y'all forgive me for the technical difficulties and the technical issues. All right. Let's see if this works, family. Can y'all hear that? Oh, no. There we go.
Hello.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yes.
There you go. All right.
Okay. All right. Hold on, Tariq. I'll put him on. Okay.
No problem.
Hello.
Hey, Brother Anderson, how are you?
Hi there, Tariq. How you going? Doing?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm doing good. What's going on out there in the D.C. area?
Same old, same old. It's Donald Trump's swamp.
Yeah.
And he came into the swamp, and he's pouring it. Every day he comes in with three or four truckloads of quicksand to put in the Trump.
Yeah. Oh,
in
yeah.
The swamp.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, bro, we got to talk about your book, A Black History Reader. Excellent book. How long did you work on this book, brother?
Once I got concentrated off of some other things I had to work on, probably about a good year, half a year.
Okay. There's so many things that you hit on in this book, and it just jumps right out the gate, just hitting on some very important points.
Well, that's why a year ago when I started writing it, that's what I was trying to do, write something that was not only historical in nature, but also would cover all current events and to fulfill the commitment that I made to myself when I devoted my life to a certain course in dealing with black issues. And that is that I wanted to and aspire to be the only forensic historians on race matters in the entire United States. I'm the only forensic historian, and I try to operate just like a forensic examiner in a morgue or mortuary, which goes in and examine bodies or do autopsies to find out why these certain things happen and what killed an individual or a group. And I try to do the same thing in race matters, and I do that intentionally to set myself aside from any white historian who might write a book here or there about a black person or a white person. I try to critically analyze what's been killing black folk for 500 years in this country and why they can't get out of the dilemma. And that's what the Black History Reader is about. It's a forensic study that sort of takes up what was laid out for you in Black Labor, White Wealth, Powernomics, Two Dirty Little Secrets books about black history, black heroes, and now the final book says, this is it. And I put it in a new form, question and answer form, and
yes,
make it almost impossible for black folk not to figure out what was going on and what was being said.
Exactly. It's very digestible. All the information is packaged in little nuggets, so people, it's a real good, easy read. So it's not over nobody's heads. It's very plain and simple, and it shouldn't be confusing to anybody.
What did you find it easy reading for you then?
I'm almost done with the book. I mean, I breezed through the book so fast. It's just that easy to read and breeze through. It's so much good information. And also, while reading it, it stops you and makes you do more research. So very good information. One thing that really stood out and that made so much sense, you were saying that black people in America, black Americans, we should stop referring to ourselves as African Americans, which I really agree with. Can you explain that?
Oh, that was, I would definitely do that. And that's a critically important point, Tariq. I'm glad you brought that up. Because, see, black people keep calling themselves anything other than black Americans. When they do that, they put a gun in their mouth and pull the trigger. They blow their own brains out the back of their head because they are not African Americans. There is no distinct connection between blacks in America.
Oh. Hello? Hello? Oh, my brother made a mistake and hung the phone up. Hold on. Uh-oh. Brother Anderson. He was about to hit on a hell of a good point, too. Let me call him back. He hung the phone up by mistake, but he was about to hit on a great point. Hold on. Let me get him back. Man, he was about to go in. Hold on. Now, that was on his end, not mine. My shit is fucked up, but that was on his end right there. I think. Let me make sure before I point the blame. Let's see what's going on here. Okay, what the hell happened? Okay. What is happening? Okay, let's try it again. Man, I was waiting on that fire. Hold on one second. Man. Okay, I'm dialing his number and I'm not getting nothing. And I don't know what that could be. Okay, y'all bear with me, man, because I really want to get this information. Something's going on with my brother's phone. Let me double check and make sure it's his phone. Somebody said the BIE, they disrupting the broadcast. Hold on 1 second. Oh, man, I want to get this information. I hate when the phone lines are on that bullshit. It makes me look like my shit ain't together, which most of the time it ain't on this show. Hold on. Let me see something. Let me make sure it ain't my line. Let me see if I can dial other numbers. Hold on. Okay, yeah. I can dial other numbers. So it's something going on with my brother's line. Let me try again. Yeah, somebody said maybe he's still talking and not knowing that it's cut off. Yeah, he might still be on the line. Yeah, because I'm dialing his number and it is not ringing. It is not ringing. So hopefully he would get his phone line together so I can call him back and everything like that. Let me try seeing what's up with Skype again. And I tried using Google Hangouts. I downloaded that, but then some shit you can't hear. She couldn't hear me when I first called. So these phone lines, man, I hate to have to troubleshoot while I'm live on air. You dig? Let me try this. Let me try. And some of y'all call up. So y'all call up on Skype, 818-850-5404. Y'all call up until I get my brother back on the phone. Let me see what's going on with this Skype. And now my Skype online. Hold on 1 second. Y'all try calling me, 818-850-5404. And let's see if that works. And again, while we're waiting, go to 1804movie.com, ladies and gentlemen. You dig? Hold on 1 second. Let me try calling him one more time. Maybe I should have just okay, here we go. Here we go. Yeah, hold on 1 second. Hold on. What? There we go. All right?
Oh, you hung up on me.
No, it hung up on your end. I don't know what happened.
Oh, okay. No, I was trying to explain to you the extreme importance in different ways why black folk are distinctly different from Africans coming here, Caribbean, any other blacks on earth, and distinctly different from any whites, immigrants coming to this country. We are unique people. That's what I was trying to tell you. There's nobody on this earth that's been treated and mistreated and maltreated historically and substitutively, except black folk. Everybody is coming to this country and replaced us and gained all the benefits while we continue to stay locked in the bottom of the barrel.
Absolutely. And why do you think and you pointed this out in the book, that so many black people think that we have this camaraderie with these other falsely labeled minority groups, and we don't. They're not going to help us at all.
Nope. And see, because what black folk don't understand is that all these groups coming into America, coming here, they're coming in under the 1790 immigration laws that were put in effect 1 year after the Constitution was ratified as being a new nation. And the first thing that Congress did, and then a year later, was say the immigration natural relation law that this is a white nation, and anybody coming to this country who have the appearance of being or can classify themselves as being white in any respect will be entitled to all the benefits of this nation. But the black folk will be the only excluded group. But those coming to the United States, they will be entitled to all the benefits and entitlements under what they call the American Dream. And the American Dream was made up of two elements. They were made up of coming to this country and getting free land and free black labor. The immigration laws were set up to be an affirmative action program for anybody coming to this country except black folk. And black folk don't understand that, and that it is that's why black folk were shut down for the last 400, 500 years. They are not immigrants, and they don't qualify as immigrants. So why would you want to identify with those? Those people coming here not to get along with black folk. They come here to get ahead of you and get all those benefits, all those privileges, all those rights, and all that wealth and unearned income that you should have gotten and never received.
Absolutely. Now, another theme in the book, you talk about how the political process has not worked for black people in all these years. Why hasn't it not worked?
It hasn't worked for two things. First of all, because black folk were excluded out of the system. And see, and that's and because, again, you, black folk don't understand you got two constitutions in the United States. Or you had two constitutions, Terry. The first was the first constitution in the United States. It was put into place in 1789. But our black leadership all the way through history has never understood that the first constitution was the first 12 amendments that were put in place in 1789. Now, but the black folk were excluded from that. And by about 1857, the Supreme Court under Taney says that black people have no rights, that a white man is bound to respect this country because you are property. You have no rights. And so when the Civil War ended, then a few radical Republicans said, well, we got to make sure that black folk, now they're free, that they get some rights and some resources. And the rights and resources should not be political. They should be economic. They say only two things to reap that a black person can be in America. He can either be free or he can be a slave. But minimally, to be free, he must have 40 acres, a mule, and $100. And otherwise, he'll never get out of the box. And based on that, they passed the first civil rights law in 1865 that says that every level of government has a right and an obligation to mandate to lift all the badges and incidences of slavery off the shoulders of black folk. Not whites, not minorities, not poor folk, not immigrants, not gays, not midgets, or people with hemorrhoids or anything else, but for black folk. And it says that every level is obligated to carry out the mandates and lift the badges and incidents. But what happened, the Supreme Court that says, found out that the whites in the South still needed black labor because they were given back, they converted back to the first first Constitution, which gave them back all the land in the South. They still needed labor. They needed cheap labor. They couldn't get slave labor. They had cheap labor. And the North was not interested in blacks coming North. And so the North and white Northerns and the Southern whites agreed that they could have the blacks by neutralizing the second Constitution. The second Constitution of the United States was made up of the Civil Rights Law of 1865, 1866, the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, the 15th Amendment. Those laws were put in effect strictly and solely for black folk. And the United States Supreme Court, which is the guardian of racism in America, says if we keep black folk in the box so the South can continue to use them is to neutralize the second Constitution and pretend that somehow it's for everybody. So the immigrants and anybody else come to the country and get those benefits, and the whites can even get those benefits. So they got the first benefits from the first Constitution. Now all these immigrants can get the same benefits from the second Constitution, which was written for black folk. Mm. And so that's why they say that the Civil Rights Laws and the 13th and 14th Amendment applies to everybody. That was done by the Supreme Court to keep black folks locked in box, but no blacks make an issue out of it.
Mm. And you know, something very interesting that you talked about in the book that really stood out, you're talking about how really one of the first black leaders to further neutralize the black empowerment was actually Dr. Martin Luther King in a certain way, right?
Yeah, that's right. See, as a matter of fact, up until about the 1960s, every black throughout the history of this nation has always been opposed to immigration coming to this country because they understood what I'm telling you now, that the immigration laws granted anybody coming to this country to be equal to white folk and get all the benefits and rights that should have occurred to black folk that are being denied. And so they oppose immigration laws. That's why even Booker T. Washington says, please tell us, we will be the best people in the world for you. We worked for you. We've done this. Why you keep mistreating us and bringing in immigrants? And everybody was opposed to it. Then by 1928, the black folk even tried to get a bill passed called a Bill of Rights for Black Folk. Because, again, trying to recover the second Constitution Amendment, which was killed off by the Supreme Court in the 1860s and 1870s. They said, write us a bill for black rights. Those blacks in 1920 struggled, in 1930 struggled with that. But they had an opposition coming from the black civil rights leaders, from the black ministers, and the black newspapers. They said, we don't want that much blackness anymore. We might want to go into universality, what later be called integration, to get along with whites. So when Martin Luther King came in the 1960s, late 1950s and late early 1960s, he says, let's now shift and started talking about rights and advantages for all people, for poor people, and for everybody. And he switched and he killed off and wiped out and he took all the blackness off of black folk. Mm. I mean, all the rights off of black folk. And what happened with that? And that's when the public policy of benign neglect and political correctness came in. And now we're saying, now let's make black folk totally disappear, make them insignificant, irrelevant, and never include them in a damn thing. That started in the 1960s, late 1960s, 1970s. That's why black folk have been dead now for 50 years.
Wow. There was something else that was very profound when you talked about the segregation or the integration school case. The Supreme Court case, Brown versus the Board of Education. You pointed out that a lot of folks don't know that the case was really about getting economic resources.
See, the people in the South, that's what it was about. It wasn't about, that's the NAACP did that switch stick on it. They had a group of Jews in one of their organizations, leading their organizations, that switched the emphasis from, again, switched it from economics to social. And see, when the Jews first started coming to this country in about the 1910s and 1915s, after around the first Civil War, they came in and said that we know we can try to get ahead. We're leaving Europe, coming to America. And what we can do is that let's cut some kind of agreement with black folk in this country and say what we'll do is we'll support black folk in social issues and maybe some political issues if black folk would allow us to have access to their communities and their economy so that Jews begin to set up businesses throughout every black community in America. And they were tied, linked in with the NAACP and Urban League. So 1948, black folk began to understand that they were being mistreated, maltreated educationally in this country. And see, I grew up in South Carolina, and when in McClinton, South Carolina, when that lawsuit came up about 1940, 1949, it floated around into about 1954 in the Supreme Court. But what we filed a lawsuit about was correct the things that was going on in the South. See, in the South, white kids were riding to school every day on buses, while black kids had to walk in mud and rain and snow trying to get to school and on the side and through bushes and fields. To get to school, white kids then when they got to school, they had swimming pools. We didn't have swimming pools in our little school. What we had to do if we wanted to swim, we had to go down to the creek and dam up the creek and swim in the creek. They had tennis courts. We didn't have those tennis courts. The state of South Carolina, they were paying $12 almost for every white child to go to school, but they were only paying about $1.50 to $2 for a black child to go to school. And then every black kid in our schools for the first week of school that started in September, when you went to school, you had to spend the entire first week in school with art gum erasers and napkins and paper trying to clean up their old books because white schools would send all their old used books and materials and equipment over to black schools while they got all their new stuff. The new stuff would come to the white schools, and after they used it for about a year or two, they would ship it over to the black schools. So what the black teachers were saying is that we don't care about, and we're not looking for no darn social integration. We want to be able to have decent schools and equipment and paper and pencils and teachers being paid a decent salary. And so when they went and they got into the courts, and the court said, well, we'll raise it if you want us to, we'll do this. And those people said, nope, what we want to do is we want all vestiges of blackness to disappear because I just told you, under political, we want everything politically to disappear. No more segregation. We don't want equal schools for black folk. We don't want blacks to have any school. And so when I took over education in the state of Florida, and I was over education in the state of Florida, I was the only black in the history of nations, but on the entire state system. I was over for 7 or 8 years. And I said, at the Department of Education, I was over, what do you intend to do under the concept of integration? They said, well, Dr., that's what we're going to do. We're going to close, we're going to fire the black teachers, fire the black administrators, fire the black counselors, close down all the black schools, bus 75% of the black kids into the white schools, and put the other 25% in the special education classes. Mm. And I said, no, I'm not for that. I want you to leave the black communities alone and start busing the best equipment, the best teachers, the best money, and equal over to the black neighborhoods. But you had organizations like CORE and a lot of other civil rights organizations, CORE, NAACP, and Urban League. They said, we don't want anything left black. And so we're going to start killing off anything and everything black. That's why you lost all your communities, your schools, your businesses, your sports team, everything black got wiped out.
Mm. You know, what's interesting now, that whole affirmative action argument is coming back up with a lot of the so-called conservatives. They say, well, if black folks want something, we can't give affirmative action because that's unfair.
Say it again, Tariq.
I said that a lot of conservatives now are bringing up that old, tired affirmative action argument that, well, we shouldn't do anything for black folks because that's affirmative action and that's unfair to other groups. What's the hypocrisy behind that?
Well, see, that's in response to, see, I have the dubious honor of being the first person to write that wrote an affirmative action plan in the United States. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it for the state of Florida in 1970, 1971, that went across the United States. I did not write that plan for anybody but black folk, because affirmative action is supposed to make corrective action. Corrective action, now this is very important for you, corrective action for something that the government or level of government have done systematically, conscientiously, wholeheartedly, devotedly, and historically against a specific group of people. That's what affirmative action is. You're correcting something that the government has done. No other group, the government hasn't done anything. They haven't done anything to Hispanics and Arabs and Asians and midgets and transsexuals and gays. They haven't done anything to them. So you're taking the affirmative action concept and you misused it. And now the resource that should have gone to black folk is the same thing that happened back in 1866 again under the Freedmen's Bureau. When the Freedmen's Bureau was set up to do something specifically for freedmen, it's called Freedmen. Freedmen, not free people. It's a freedmen, slaves coming out of slavery. They said they thought they'd given land, food, clothing, and stuff, and help, some money, to be able to compete against this, and compete to live. But the whites again says, well, what we had neutralized that so to go for everybody, and we let whites go in. So whites then got put, included. All the white Southerners got involved in the Freedmen's Bureau. They got all the resources, and once they took all the resources, they then set black folk free to leave slavery with the penniless, no money, no clothes, no tools, no animals, no land, no houses, no religion, no business, no education, no organization, no family unity, no culture, nothing. And said, so now you all go and pee. And the people said, what do you mean, Pete? You either root hog or die. That was a quote, which means you either learn how to compete and survive or you die. Mm. And said, and instead, we'll give all the funds and stuff that should come out of the Freedmen's Federation, which was sort of an affirmative action plan for ex-slaves. They gave it to whites in throughout the South. The same thing happened in the 1960s with the civil rights, with the affirmative action plan I wrote. Again, it's a little bit for black folk, but they put in women. Women are a majority, and a majority. They put white women into it under Title IX, where a congressman from Virginia and a senator from Louisiana says, we would never approve anything for black folk before we first approve it for white women. And they put in Title IX so that all the money that should have gone to black folk on affirmative action in education, as an example, they gave it to whites. In the state of Florida, we had 69 counties. I asked all the county superintendents, how do you plan on spending your desegregation or your integration funds in schools? How are you going to spend it? Every one of them said, we're going to spend it for white women under Title IX. And seeing black and your black leadership never picked up or made an argument against Title IX. Instead, what they're doing still today, they're still championing and trying to equate gender, transgenders, and everything's being equal to black. That's why I said, if you go back to what I told you about exceptionality and understand that you're exceptional people, do not let anybody compare. There's nobody been treated or maltreated or abused or exploited in this country but black people for 500 years. Why let somebody come in and call you a minority, a poor folk, a person of color, a multicultural, diversity, and all that kind of stuff?
Now, we know that right now in this day and age, we have so many black people being executed by these police officers out here, and they use their economy to protect these officers. They have these unions that will pay for lawyer expenses, that will buy judges. You have even the NRA. They have this insurance thing that they have for people who commit murder. What are some of the things black people can do financially to counter these police killings out here?
Well, the only thing you can do, period, it has to be economic. See, the whole issue and birth of racism is economic. It started in the 1500s. Only our people don't understand what racism is and where it began and why it still exists. It's economic. The only power in America, whether it's coming out of white hands or in the black community, is economic power. That's the only power. Anything else is a response to that. And when you start talking about killings and shootings, that's political. See, that the whole point of the doing slavery, the first police issues, the roles came out of what they came up in 1643, and when they had slaves all locked down. So the state of Virginia was the first one to pass a law that says that now that we might have to fight some Indians or anybody else, that under no circumstances can blacks be armed or having the weapons, tools, knives, or signal mules. Then in about 1670, they passed a law through all the colonies saying that black folk cannot be armed and black folk cannot do anything that would be insulting or threatening to whites. And so they passed these laws. In 1789, when the Constitution was drafted, they inserted the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment authorized whites to be able to shoot blacks back in those days until the present time. Constitution Amendment was added, it says that it passed laws saying that every white citizen, male, between the ages of 18 and 45 years of age, is obliged to be able to always be armed and prepared to monitor and defend the structure of the white community and its businesses against any potential black slave uprising or any black slave revolts or runaway black slaves. And they set up what's called paddy rollers that will watch the roads and check on blacks, all they're checking their credentials and find out why they are moving around. And the first police in this country, to answer your question, the first police in this country were created in South Carolina. They were called plantation police. And their only obligation was to monitor and black folk and to keep them disarmed. And they would be defenseless and could not protect themselves. And that's why the black codes came up in after slavery. The first thing every southern state did was pass a law saying a black person could not have a weapon, could not be armed to protect themselves. That's how they were able to mistreat black folk for 100 years in the South under the black codes and peonage, because black folk could not carry weapons and police in the South could do anything to them. The sheriffs, the judges could railroad them, send them to prison for any violation of what they call a code of ethics or a black code. Anything that white folk did not like, they could either kill you, lynch you, or shoot you because you could not defend yourself, and they used the police and the sheriff's departments and the law enforcement agency to carry it out. So right now, the police are not doing anything different they've been doing since slavery. Only our people just work out of total ignorance, or they're out betraying their own people by siding with the system against their own people. Mm. I don't understand it. They're too intellectually lazy to understand these issues, Tariq.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, how important is it, even though we have now become black Americans, we're culturally different from a lot of brothers and sisters in Africa, how important is it for us to try to link up with them to get an economic, international, global economic foundation started?
Well, it's very important, but there are certain principles and systems you have to go on, and that's very comprehensive, but I can show you how it can be done on paper, and it can be done. I tried to do it when I was with President Carter back in 1978. When Mayor Jackson and I was talking about when he was trying to develop the Atlanta International Airport, and I was calling for a reverse investment trade program to be developed in this country at the same time, and then trade missions. I was taking trade missions around the world into Latin America, Venezuela, Colombia, down and throughout Europe and Africa, and I was talking to leaders in Africa, to ECOWAS, the West African Economic Ministers. I'm going to bring them into Atlanta to coincide with the opening of the African Atlanta International Airport, and try to promote economic development on a pan-African basis. And the same thing I was going to try and do in Detroit. By Detroit would have been an excellent place for blacks to practice economic pan-Africanism, and to be able to compete. They can do it, but there are certain things they have to do. And I had a comprehensive plan. I still got plans that they could carry out to do it. But you cannot. But Africa cannot do it. All these blacks, somebody going back to Africa, that's a waste of time. And Africans cannot bring about the enjoyment of blacks around the world. It has to be done under the same model that Jews use. The most powerful Jews on the earth are in America. The Jews in America set how Jews around the world are treated. And they're the ones who make sure that the resources go into the Jewish communities around the world. Black folk have to come to understand that the only recourse that they have to bring and unite blacks around the world would be to uplift and enrich and empower blacks in America, and then obligate them to play the leadership role in bringing all the uniting all the blacks in this country should be united with blacks in Caribbeans and Latin America and in Africa, and because you can't in Africa now is being taken over totally by Asians, Chinese, Latin Americans, Europeans, they're dominating and sucking all the resources out of Africa. And you got some dumb butt blacks in Africa who just enacted a constitution in Africa that would exclude their own people and set up an affirmative action program in South Africa to bring in Chinese to build businesses and get preferential treatment. But it says specifically that Chinese can come in on affirmative action basis and get the resources of South Africa, but black folk cannot get anything. They have to be denied and shut out. And that is the new constitution of South Africa. Now, you explain that to me, how they can be that damn dumb at this time and day.
Well, when I was in South Africa, I was there like a year ago, and just all those black people living in townships in these shanty towns, and these white people are living in these nice condos, and that just blew my mind. It just completely blew my mind over there that they would just allow that to happen. Go ahead, brother.
I understand that. See, they invited me to come to Africa to speak. And I said, no, I'm not coming. I said, why? They said, we need you to hear from me. Now, you don't need to hear from me. Anytime in South Africa, you got a black population that's about 29.5 million black folk living in South Africa, and about 2.5 million whites and other groups affiliated, or identified as being with the white community. Anytime the 29.5 million cannot overrun and overrule 2.5 million, you don't need me. You're in a world of trouble. And you quit trying to practice what the Martin Luther King concept. See, when Mandela came out of prison, he picked up the ideas that were being perpetuated by Martin Luther King, and instead of trying to redistribute the resources, the wealth and power and privileges in South Africa, he came up there talking about, he didn't want to talk about social integration and getting along. And that's why South Africa has not advanced. They're going backwards and deeper into trouble, just like in black America in the last 50 years, both of them in South Africa and in America. The blacks in South Africa, the blacks in America went back into the toilet.
Man. Now, when you spoke of Detroit, now, from what I understand, when you went to Detroit, you wanted to create basically almost a new black Wall Street out there, a black business district, and you got more pushback from who?
From the black community, from the black overclass, and the combination of the black overclass and the whites who had abandoned the city. And see, the whites intentionally practiced a scorched earth policy against Detroit, starting in about the late 1950s, when they found out all of a sudden that blacks wanted to integrate. They went across 8 Mile Road because the prime land, the best land, was between the river and 8 Mile Road. They wanted to escape black folks, and what they did, they took the Highway Act of 1955, 1956 that was enacted by Eisenhower. So let's use this to build expressways all over the city, and we move so we can move everything across 8 Mile Road and build a new thing. We construct a new state out there called suburbs, and suburbs that we reinstall all of the wealth, the resources, privileges, the rights, the businesses, the industries, the factories, the wealth class, and everything into the suburb. We'll move everything out of Detroit and deplete it. And so that by 1960s, when blacks became the predominant population and started getting a black mayor, some black city council members, it was humanly impossible in theory and practice for them to be able to run a city with no wealth, because the wealth base had been moved outside the city too into the white community. And so what I was saying to them is that you could still beat them if you just construct a mental wall down 8 Mile Road saying, we don't need you, stay out there. Now that blacks are the majority population in Detroit, you got about $11 million moving back and forth between the school system and your operating budget. All you have to do is to practice powernomics principles. That's all you have to do, Tariq. And all that city had to do was practice powernomics principles in the city of Detroit. You got $11 billion annual operating capital. All you got to do, and the powernomics principle says, all you got to do is operate on powernomics principles of group politics and group economics, and make your money bounce 7 to 8 times or 8 to 12 times before it leaves any hands of a black person in Detroit and move back out to the suburbs of the whites.
Absolutely.
Because across this country, Hispanics bounce their money 6 to 7 times, white bounce their money 8 to 12 times, Arabs and Asians bounce their money 13 to 14 times, Jews bounce their money 18 times. I said, all you got to do is to bounce your money, instead of bouncing it once in the white communities, bounce it 10 times in the city of Detroit. And instead of having a 10 $1 billion operating budget, you will now have over a $100 billion budget, and you don't need the white community. And when I said that, the white suburbs, all that moved out to Detroit to get away from black folk, all of them jumped up and said, "Dr. Dennis, that's racism. You're talking about racism." Mm. Even though they are so stupid, they didn't know that a black person could not be racist in practice or theory. And they said, "You're practicing racism." They said, "We admit that in Detroit we got a Mexican town, we got a hockey town, we got a cork town, we got a pole town, we got an Asian town, we got an Arab town, and we got a Greek town. But it'd be racist for you all to have something and exclude us out of it." And so and the black civil rights leaders said, "Y'all sure is right. Mm. We don't need anything else. All we need to do is practice social integration. Just get along like we've all been trying. Everything we've been doing since we got out of slavery. Just try to get along with everybody and love everybody. We've been looking for love in the wrong places for 150 years. Let's keep doing it."
And that black overclass, that's a very deliberate thing that they pushed on us, right?
Yeah, they do it, and I'm going to have to jump off in about 2 or 3 minutes. So, but what they did, yeah, see, the black overclass is made up about basically of about 6 different sectors. And there are many exceptions to the rule, but typically it's made up of black ministers, black athletes, black entertainers, black politicians, black civil rights leaders, and black newspapers and the media. Those are the people that control things in the black community, and they get paid and rewarded and recognized to maintain the status quo, just like whites use the Supreme Court to maintain the status quo on black folk. Whites also use, inside the race, they use a black overclass to make sure that those individuals are rewarded and recognized and called leaders by just simply making sure that no blacks can come up and generate anything that will attack or address the status quo on black folk in this country that's been in existence for 500 years. And that's the whole purpose of the black overclass. That's the purpose of the United States Supreme Court. And none of them ever says with the Supreme Court that why would you go to the Supreme Court that now has that 1.5 so-called black person on it? You've had over 127 Supreme Court justices in the history of the nation. The first 57 were white slave owners, and the 60 since then have been white racists. Why in the world would blacks keep going to the Supreme Court and to the court system looking for justice? What they should be doing is practicing group economics through powernomics and group politics and saying money controls everything and start rebuilding their own businesses, building their own factories, industries, with a tax base to generate jobs, products, services, and goods for their own people. That's the only solution they got that they can work. The second thing is they got to quit talking about affirmative action, abandon first affirmative action. It will collapse without black folk being in it, and go for full reparations, which you'll hear me talking about, and I'll be going to court for the Indian Treaty enforcement of that reparation on November the 17th in this year, on 2017. We'll be going into the United States Appeal Court in Washington, D.C. at 333 Constitutional Avenue, and then have a 9:30 in the morning be an argument on reparations through the 1866 Indian Treaty for black folk. That treaty spelled out what black folks have been getting for 100 and so years, and they haven't got a penny. And that during Obama, he wouldn't give them a penny. He went against doing anything for black folk and for the black Indians and carrying out the Indian Treaty. Yet all these blacks love Obama, and Obama took black folk back 300 years in history.
Yep. Absolutely. And people are still talking that Obama stuff, and Obama set us back heavy. Yes.
That's right. But I do love it. I got to jump off now. I hope I gave you enough information.
Brother, where can everybody get your book?
Now, what they need to do, first and foremost, they need to call. They need to go to powernomics.com and on the website, go to powernomics.com. They can get the new book called The Black History Reader, 101 Questions That You Should Have Thought and Asked But You Never Did. Come and go get that book. That is imperative. They read that book as quickly as they possibly can.
Absolutely.
They can get that off. They can get it off the powernomics.com website. Also, that website, we have packages up there, Tariq, where they can get 3 books. For instance, in a powerful solution pack that you talk about, they can get the book that's called The Second Bible for Black Folk in Our Country. That's Black Labor, White Wealth.
Yes.
They can get Powernomics. And they can get a black reader for something like $60, all 3 of those books. Or for those who are really conscientious and they want to put these things, they build their own library where they never have to read another book about black folk in the history of this nation. They can get what's called a library pack. That library pack will contain 5 books Black Labor, White Wealth, Powernomics, Dirty Little Secrets 1, Dirty Little Secrets 2, and the Black History Reader, and a 1.5-hour DVD to show you how to educate black kids. You can get all those in what was called a library pack. That runs $99. They can get that by going to the website. And if they can't get that, then they need to go to the black, what's on the black bookstores and order. But please go to the Powernomics website. Do not go, like I said, straight to Amazon. Go to the PowerNomicsWebsite.com and get PowerNomics.com and get them off the website.
Perfect.
And we look to hear from them. We need to get these books out there in our hands because things are going to get worse for us real soon right now.
Yes, indeed.
If not now.
Yes, indeed. Brother, thank you so much for calling in, brother. I appreciate you, love you, respect you, and you have a good one, brother.
Okay, and now, Trick, do anything you can to direct as many people all over this country because we don't have radio stations anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard for me to get information to our people because, again, it's against the law, and it violates the Constitution, the 13th and 14th Amendment, and the civil rights laws for black folk not to have any media in this country. That's the next lawsuit that's coming up. But we got to figure out how to get the information out and communicate and get black folk to start reading these books so they quit suffering from acute imposed ignorance and understand these issues as fast as they can so they can mobilize, organize, and then begin to enrich themselves economically, politically in this country.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. I totally agree, brother. There you go. All right. Thank you so much, Brother Clark.
Oh, thank you. And we'll look to see how many people you drive to the web now.
Oh, yeah. You're about to get a whole gang of orders right now, I can promise you. So you're going to get a bunch of them today.
Tariq, can I hold you to that?
Oh, I can almost guarantee. They're going to go on there right now. People are sharing the link in the chat room. So, yeah, you're about to get a lot of orders today, brother. Oh, yeah.
That's why I love you, because, see, racism is a team sport. And I got my team out there hustling to stay together as a team.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Take care now, Tariq.
You be good, brother. Thank you. All right, y'all. That was Brother Claude Anderson. Let me plug my computer back up. Sorry about that. Sorry about the bugs and the pops. But, yeah, that was Brother Anderson. Hold on. Wait. Can you guys hear me? Now, some people in the chat room said they were having problems hearing me. Put my Mac and music back on. There we go. Some people said they were having issues hearing me. Can y'all hear me now? We good? Oh, man, Brother Anderson be spitting that hot damn fire. It was a million questions I wanted to ask. It's been like almost an hour. And the time went by so fast. Oh, man. There was so many other questions, man. We could have been here for like 2-3 hours. I had so many questions, man. We could have been just chopping it on up. But again, that's why he has the book. That's why y'all need to go get my brother's book right now. I'm telling y'all, man, the book drops game. This brother, Claude Anderson, he's been in the political game, the sociology game. He's been in it for a minute, man. The brother knows what he's doing. That brother, they call him the man with the plan. And your brother, Claude Anderson, he was in Hidden Colors 2, dropping that hot fire. But yeah, that new book, Black History Reader, is so much good information, man. So much good information. And speaking of good information, man, I hope you guys got Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Yeah, and my brother made a very good point, man. We don't have black media no more. The so-called black radio don't exist no more. That shit doesn't exist. There's only a handful of people. You know what? I'm going to be on my man Rock Newman show. That's really the only, what I would say, kind of mainstream, a traditional black media. I'm going to be on his show next week. They're doing a 2-hour special about the Haiti documentary. That's really the only traditional black media outlet that is giving me shine over my new movie, which is number one. The movie's been number one, and it's not even out yet. Just on pre-orders, it was number one. Sold out screenings all around the country. The hands down best documentary or even film about the history of Haiti ever. Everybody who's seen the film says this is hands down the best film about Haiti ever. And the so-called black media, Ebony, Essence, all nothing, nothing. And we know why. I mean, I'm just saying, I didn't expect anything, but we know why. You understand? It's all about us going back to that grassroots thing. We have to really circle our wagons. And my brother hit on some great points. Oh, man, he hit on some great points about how, as far as getting black people elevated globally, going to Africa is not the answer. And, you know, I talk a lot about Africa. You know, I feel for my brothers and sisters there. And I've been saying this lately. Africa, they're being attacked every which way but loose right now. And right now, it's Coon City all over Africa. Let's just keep it 100. I was arguing with some people on Twitter yesterday who was from Zimbabwe, and they kissing white ass and, you know, talking shit about Mugabe so they can get brownie points from white mommy, white daddy. It's Coon Fest over in Africa right now. We're going to be very honest. They're being dominated all over the place. So we are black Americans. We are the ones who are going to be at the forefront of global black empowerment. We have to understand that. We're the ones that's going to have to put in a lot of the work and do the heavy lifting. We think that some random African leader is going to make something happen. No, because a lot of the leaders over there are puppet leaders. They're put in place by the white supremacists. They're being colonized or recolonized over there as we speak. And all the resources are being drained. And Obama helped militarize the forces over there against the Africans. And what's interesting, they're over there praising Obama. They don't know that Obama helped put the military back over there. We are the leaders as black Americans. We're the ones who are going to have to be at the forefront. So we're going to have to take that. We're going to have to take that and accept that. We're going to have to be the ones standing up and making things happen. That's why we got to get on our grind. We got to stop this old bummy and high shit that we got over here. Motherfuckers just want to get high, be bummy, and be moist. That shit is for the birds, man. These white supremacists are mobilizing. These white supremacists are losing their minds now. You just had, you know, Richard Spencer did a speech where they shot at some more people. Some people were arrested because some of Richard Spencer's folks shot at some folks down there in Florida, I think. Another white supremacist just killed his own dad recently. His name is Lane something. I forgot his name. There's another white supremacist march that they're planning in Tennessee this weekend. So these white supremacists are mobilizing, family. And it's us over here. We got to be on our grind. We got to be alert. We got to be on top of our game, because it's us who's going to have to stand up and break down white supremacy terrorism. Because we're the only ones that's really challenging it. All these other groups, they're not challenging white supremacy. They're trying to be team white supremacy, even though white supremacy is whooping their asses. Look at Puerto Rico. White supremacy, they are shitting on Puerto Rico, and these Puerto Ricans out here still thinking that they're Spanish. All these other groups, man, they're trying to be lapdogs for white supremacy. They want to maintain white supremacy and get their little bullshit kibbles and bits. So it's up to us, just like Claude Anderson said, it's up to us to really be the leaders here as a group. And he made a very good point how it was Jewish people in America that helped Jewish people worldwide. Not over there in Europe. The ones in Europe couldn't do anything. It was the ones over here really stepping up and making it happen. We got to have that same mentality, because we have the most resources. We have all these athletes out here. We have all these entertainers out here. So we got to have that code. Right now, and I wanted to, when Brother Anderson was on the phone, I wish I could have talked about the NFL. Oh, there was so much stuff I wanted to talk about. There's so much stuff I wanted to talk about, and I'm glad he pointed out how Obama did nothing. Obama set us back. Black folks still don't want to accept that. We got to, black people, we have to accept wins and we have to accept losses. Obama was a loss for us. That was a loss because we didn't get anything tangible out of it. It was a loss. I had Negroes tell me or argue with me about what Obama has done. And when you point out that Obama has really done nothing and not given nothing to black people. I have heard Negroes say Obama did give us something. I said, what? Obama gave us hope. I've heard niggas with a straight fucking face say that stupid shit on more than one occasion. You sound like a damn hood rat. That's hood rat talk. That's what hood rats who get fucked at 2 a.m. be saying. I hope I'm gonna give him some pussy and hope that nigga call me. That's low self-esteem hood rat talk. I swear to God, niggas with a straight fucking face said Obama gave us something. He gave us some hope. You dumb bastards who think like that. You dig? Obama was useless. And we don't want to be honest about that. We got to be honest about our wins and honest about our losses. And we can't keep waiting on symbolic bullshit. We got to be in the tangible game. We got to start being on our tangible game. We need tangible resources in order to empower ourselves, because these white supremacists are using their resources to subjugate us. Like I mentioned earlier, the NRA, they got like some insurance that they have if you kill somebody. They have this murder insurance where if you kill somebody, they use all types of code words saying if you kill an intruder, if you kill somebody who's threatening you. And these are code words, meaning if a white person kills a black person, it's all coded language, but that's what it means. So if you're a white person who kills a Negro and you buy the insurance that we have, we'll take care of your legal fees. You can get a little cushion money as a payout. So they're getting their money together. Now, some people say, well, can black folks get that insurance? They won't pay that shit out. If a black person kills a white person, they're not going to honor no policy like that. The NRA wouldn't even acknowledge Philando Castile getting executed by practicing his Second Amendment rights. The NRA will not even speak out against that. So we know where their mindset is. They've always had an anti-black policy. So we need to stop being fooled by these politicians. That's why I really wish I could have got into more political talk with Brother Anderson. Right now, they're trying to get this Kamala Harris lady. They're trying to push her out there. We shouldn't fall for her. There's a stench of bedwinchery going on with her. She ain't going to do nothing. She's a con. Is this? No. And the Democrats, they're not really putting any real viable people out there to counter Trump. The Democrats, for some reason, they're not smart enough to put somebody out here that can really counter Trump's bullshit. They think, well, the bar is so low, they can put anybody out there. No, we'll let a motherfucker like Trump win again if you don't put somebody out here tangible who's going to bring some tangible benefits for black people. We'll let Trump destroy this shit if you're not going to put somebody out here who's going to do something tangible for us. You dig? So we got to get off that symbolic bullshit and circle our wagons and be about that economic game, family. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Go to 1804movie.com. Pre-order the DVD, 1804movie.com. The best documentary of the year. I'm not saying that because it's my film. I'm saying that because the family is saying that. Shout out to everybody in D.C. I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. next week with my man Rock Newman. I'm going to be on his show. We're going to do a 2-hour special about 1804. They're giving me a lot of love. We're going to chop it up real heavy. Shout out to everybody who participated in the film. Shout out to Brother Kaba. He was out there in New York at the screening. Shout out to Brother James Small. He was out there. I'm kind of tired right now. I'm doing the juice cleanse. I'm doing the 3-day juice cleanse. That's why I sound a little weak. If I do sound weak, I might sound normal. I'm hungry than a motherfucker right now because I'm doing that juice cleanse from pressed juice. That's why my mouth sounds dry, but I'm making it happen. Shout out to everybody who went to Raleigh. Shout out to everybody. Much love to the people in the UK, even though I got a fucked up haircut out there in the UK. Even though an African dude, speaking of Africa, an African brother fucked my head all the way up, nigga. He had me looking like Caillou. I mean, he fucked me up big time. And I'm going to say it again. My African brothers, I love you, but y'all can't cut hair for shit. When y'all get over here, I don't know how y'all get in these barbershops. You must have a friend or a cousin who's just letting you work there so you can have a place of employment on paper. There's no way some of y'all motherfuckers are getting licenses the way y'all fuck people's heads up. But I love you. Much respect to you. Go eat some protein. Somebody said I look like Lil Bill. Oh, I saw those memes y'all bastards were posting on my ass, too. I saw all those janky-ass memes y'all were clowning me, but it's all right. I'm going to get my hair cut this week. I'm still letting it grow back halfway to normal so I can get it shaped up and fly. The return of the Mac will be back. Anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here, man. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Go to 1804movie.com. Get your Ogun shirts at TariqElite.com, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm a holla.